Welcome to the sermon podcast of Old Bridge Baptist Church. Our mission at OBBC is to make disciples of Christ who connect with God, others, ministry, and the lost. We pray that the following sermon will encourage you in your walk with Christ today. Visit us on the web anytime at obb.church.
Good morning. Pastor Stan is away, and I want to thank Pastor Stan, even though he's not here, and you know the elders, for giving me this opportunity to share the word of God. Amen. So it's been good. So my goal today is to teach from Romans chapter 6. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to be teaching from 1 through 14, the one that Pastor Barr just read. And my goal is to teach today. So there's a difference between teaching and preaching, right? So a teacher always has to explain what he's doing, right? He has to explain every word or whatever it is that's going on in the scripture. But a preacher doesn't, for example, John the Baptist, he didn't really explain a lot of stuff. He just told the people as is, right? So a teacher explains and a preacher proclaims, right? Jesus Christ said, right? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. It's proclaiming. He's not going to spend the whole time explaining all that stuff. It's just proclaiming. So I'm going to do my best today to explain Romans chapter 6. So the title of my message today, it's on holiness. How to live the Christian life. So if you want to summarize the whole Christian life, one word for it, is holiness. That now that we've come to Christ, right? You come to Christ by faith, right? You don't come to Christ because you're holy. You come to Christ because you're a sinner. And then through the grace of God, you receive forgiveness of sins. But now that you've come to Christ, you have to live a holy life. You have to be like Christ, right? You've come to Christ. You've received Christ. So now, be like him. That's what holiness is. So before I continue and proceed with Romans chapter 6, I would like for us to pray one more time. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this morning that we've come into your presence. Our prayer today is that let your name be hallowed, let your kingdom come, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and touch the hearts of people. Come and transform people. For you said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So be merciful to us. Don't deal with us according to our sins, but deal with us according to the grace of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, be in our midst. Be our teacher. Speak to our minds. Speak to our hearts. And speak to our spirits. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So again, my title of my message is holiness. So in the Bible, when the Bible talks about holiness, it means separation, to be set apart, right? So the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6 that God is holy, holy, holy. What that means is that God is set apart from any other creature in this world, whether in heaven or on earth. So the true meaning of holiness is to be set apart or to be separated. And then that's how God was able to tell his people, I've delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians. Now be holy, be separated, be set apart from all other people on this earth. So when the Bible talks about holiness, it means to be set apart or to be separated. So when you come into the New Testament, holiness means to be like Christ, right? Set apart and be like Christ. Don't be like the rest of the people in the world. No, we are a different people, right? A chosen generation. God's own special people. We are God's own special people. So we have to live a holy life. We have to be like Christ, right? So Hebrews chapter 2 said that he's not ashamed to call us his brethren, right? So Jesus Christ is, in a natural sense, our older brother, right, with reverence. So as an older brother, we have to look unto him, right? The Bible said, looking unto Jesus. So let us be like Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So that's what I'm going to be covering now. But I just wanted to give you like a background of where I'm going. So I have three questions that I'm going to be answering today. What is holiness? Why holiness? And how do you become holy? Or how does a Christian live a holy life? So what is holiness? Why holiness? And how do you live a holy life? And what is holiness? I've kind of touched upon that, right? That we have to be like Christ, right? So now that you have been justified, justification doesn't make you holy. Justification means that God has declared you righteous. Now there is no more condemnation upon you. Now you are on the side of God. But now that you've come to the side of God, be like God, right? The Bible said, be imitators of God, right? The Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So that's the whole meaning of holiness. What is holiness? Imitate Christ. Be like Christ. Christ-likeness. That's the whole meaning of holiness. So why should we be holy? Well, because the Bible said so. Right? In the Old Testament, God said, be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I am holy. And the main reason why God told them to be holy is for them to enjoy him. Right? For you to be able to enjoy God, you have to live a holy life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it said, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one can see the Lord. So that's what it means, to be able to enjoy God, to be able to see God, you have to live a holy life. Because it said here, right? And holiness, without which no one can see the Lord, or no one will see the Lord. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Why do we have to be holy? Well, because it is the will of God for us to be holy, right? Everybody's looking for, what is the will of God for my life? What does God want me to do? What is going on? What should I do, right? What is the will of life? What is the will of God for my life? Well, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, the will of God for your life is for you to be holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it said, for this is the will of God, which is your sanctification. Another word for holiness is sanctification. The will of God for your life is for you to be holy, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own body in sanctification and also in honor. So if you're looking for the will of God, there it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. That's the will of God. That's why you have to be holy. First of all, you have to be holy because for you to be able to enjoy God, for you to be able to walk with God, you have to be holy. Why do you have to be holy? Well, because it is the will of God. Another reason why you have to be holy is because that's the reason why Christ died for you. Ephesians chapter 1, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. The reason why God chose you before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus is for you to be holy and blameless before him in love. That's another reason why. That's the whole reason why Christ came to die, right? To save us from our sins, to live a holy life. Well, the Bible said holy life, well pleasing unto God. So if you want to know the main reason why Christ died for you, is that you may live a holy life, right? That he chose us before the foundation of the world so that we may live a holy life, well-pleasing in his sight. And then it also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are from God. So you have to be holy because you were bought with a price. It was an expensive price, right? The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you. So for you to appreciate it, right, you have to live a holy life, well-pleasing to God. Amen? So we've covered what is holiness, which is to be like Christ. Why do we have to be holy? Well, first of all, if we want to walk with God, we have to live a holy life because God is holy. We have to be separated. We have to be set apart from the world. And why do we have to be holy? Because it is the will of God for our lives. We are always looking for the will of God, right? Where should I live? Where should I work? Who should I marry? What should I do? Should I buy this car? Should I buy this house? Well, the Bible said the will of God for you is to be holy. And when you are holy, then all other things will fall into place. Amen. Amen. So, holiness. And why do we have to be holy? Well, because that's the main reason why Jesus died for us, right? That he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. So, I've covered what is holiness, why is holiness. So, my main point today is how then do we live that holy life, right? Because obviously the Bible said we have to live holy, and it's important because that's the reason why Christ died for us. So how then do we live that holy life? How do we live that holy life? That's when I'm going to come to Romans chapter 6. But before I do that, I want to give you my understanding from what I've read from the scriptures and what the Spirit had said. So this is my definition of holiness. Holiness comes by knowing or understanding your position in Christ. So if you want to live a holy life, you first of all have to understand or know your position in Christ. And if you understand and know your position in Christ, then you live accordingly by the power of the Spirit. So holiness is know your position in Christ, live accordingly by the power of the Spirit. So let me say that again. Know your position in Christ. You live accordingly by the power of the Spirit. That's the meaning of holiness. By the power of the Spirit. So I'm going to start from Romans chapter 6. So Romans chapter 6 verse 1 said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So before we proceed, so verse 1 said, what shall we say then, right? What does that mean? In plain English, what he's saying is, based on all that I have said, how should we conclude? So for us to be able to understand verse 1, we have to go back to two verses. So we're going back to chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. To be able to understand verse 5, let's go back to 5, 20 and 21. So chapter 5, verse 20, he said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he just said, where sin abounded, right? Grace abounded much more. So whenever there is sin, grace takes over. Whenever there is sin, grace takes over. So then he's saying in chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because you just said that where sin is, grace abounds much more. So the whole point of Jesus Christ coming in this world is to die for our sins. The sins that you committed in the past, the sins that you commit presently, and the sins that you commit in the future. So it's all covered. So then the logic is, okay, if Jesus Christ has covered all my sins that I committed in the past, the sins that I'll commit today, and the sins that I'll commit in the future, the logic is for me to continue in sin. Because that's what the gospel is, right? That when you come to Christ, all your sins are forgiven. And then the apostle is saying in verse 2, certainly not. This is not possible. This is not the gospel. And that's the main reason why the apostle was being persecuted by the Jewish people. Because he was preaching that, well, all that you got to do to come to Christ is to believe in the gospel. That you are a sinner, Christ came to die for you, and if you believe in the word that is being spoken, all your sins will be forgiven. So then the Jewish people are saying, I mean, that's not right. Oh, is it just by faith? And he said, yeah, it's just by faith, and all your sins are forgiven. So then someone will say, okay, if it's just by faith and all my sins are forgiven, then I'm just going to keep continuing sinning because you said where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. But then he came to verse 2 of Romans chapter 6 and said, certainly not. Or another translation would say, God forbid. This is impossible. Why? How shall we who died to sin live any longer? How shall we who died to sin live any longer? So the main point here is, what is the meaning of how shall we who died to sin? What is the meaning of someone who died to sin? He's not saying that a Christian will never sin again. He's saying that a Christian died to sin. And the meaning of that is that a Christian died to the power of sin. So it's not possible for a Christian to continue to live in sin as if he has not or she has not been born again. So it doesn't mean that a Christian will never sin. It means that a Christian died to the power of sin, died to the realm of sin, died to the dominion of sin. Because when Adam sinned, everyone who comes after Adam is also a sinner. The power of sin is over that individual. And that's why the difference is the people in the world, they live in a lifestyle of sin. Why? Because they're in Adam. But when you come to Christ, that power of sin breaks. And that's why Paul is saying that, how shall we who die to sin? We are no longer in Adam, but we are now in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then that sin power that ruled over us before we came to Christ no longer exists. We have died to the power of sin because we are no longer in Adam, but we are in Christ. And that's why the apostle is able to say in Galatians chapter 2 that it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son who died for me. So we've been separated from the power of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Because the Bible said in Colossians chapter 1 that God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of light. He has delivered us from Adam and transferred us to Christ. We are no longer under the power of sin, but we are now under the power of the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't make sense. How can someone who has been delivered from this sin power live any longer? It's like, this is impossible. So a Christian shouldn't say, okay, if I have been justified, if I have come to Christ, because I know Christ has forgiven me my sins through grace, I can keep on sinning. He said, no, this is impossible. Because when you come to Christ, that sin power, it's cut off, it's disconnected from Adam to Christ. So that's verse 2. Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? And he goes on in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So he's still explaining himself, right? That logic that said that we can keep on sinning. He said, well, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were also baptized into his death? Well, baptism here, he's not talking about water baptism, because water baptism is just a symbol. It doesn't do anything for you, right? Jesus Christ said, when you go and then you preach the gospel and they believe, right? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So water baptism, that it's done here, doesn't do anything for you, right? It's just a symbol of you coming to Christ. That's all it is. But then here, he's saying that, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So then what is the meaning of baptism? So baptism here is another word for it is union with Christ, right? Coming into the body of Christ, right? Connected into Christ, planted into Christ, married to Christ. That's the meaning of that word baptism here in verse 3. So you can read it this way. Or do you not know that as many of us as were united into Christ were united also into his death? So instead of baptism, you can change it to united. So he's saying, well, we are one with Christ, right? Right? So he said in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, right, he is what? A new creation. Because you become one with Christ. We have become part of the body of Christ. We have been joined together with Christ, right? You remember in, I think, John, it said that the vineyard and we are the branches. So Christ is the body and we are united with him. So we are in Christ. We are in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 said that for as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That same word again, right? That baptized. Or if you will, you can say as many of us as were united into Christ have put on Christ. So we have been united. We are one with Christ. So if we are one with Christ, then what does that mean? What are some of the benefits of being one with Christ? And he just made mention of one. That he said that, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So because we are united with Christ, we also participated in the death of Christ. Amen? We are everything that happened to Christ also happened to us. The same way that when Adam sinned, we were not in the garden, right? But how is it that everyone who is born after Adam is a sinner, right? And I always use this analogy, right? That you don't have to teach a little kid, right, how to sin. Right? They know how to get angry. They know how to kick. They know how to be selfish. You don't have to teach them. Why? Because they are in Adam, right? They weren't even there. They weren't even born when Adam sinned. So everything that happened to Adam happen to everyone who comes after him. But then when you come to Christ, everything that happened to Christ, you participate in it. So that's what he's saying, that as many as of us were baptized into Christ, we also participated in the death of Christ. Not only in the death of Christ, but we participated in the death of Christ, his burial, and his resurrection. So the death, we participated in the death of Christ. We also participated in the burial of Christ and also participated in the resurrection of Christ. So we participated in the death of Christ. When you look at verse 4, right? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We were buried with him through baptism into death. He's not saying that when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, we were there with him. No. It is Christ who died on the cross. But when we come to Christ, we also experience that spiritually. Christ experienced it physically on the cross, right? He was, right, crucified on the cross, and then he was buried, and on the third day he resurrected. We weren't there with him. But what Paul is saying that at our conversion, when you get born again, when you believe in Christ, you also, because Christ died to sin, you also participate in the death of sin. That's what he said in verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And then also verse 5, when you look at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness, we've been united together in the likeness of his death. We've been united together in the likeness of his death. And then the last one, verse 10, it said, for the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. The death that Christ died, he died to sin once and for all. So if Christ died to sin once and for all, then we also as believers, what? We've also died to sin, what? Once and for all. Again, he's not saying that a Christian will never sin. What he's saying is that a Christian has died to the power of sin, to the dominion of sin. Yes, you get tempted. Yes, that's why Jesus Christ said when you pray, right, that pray to the Father, lead us not into temptation. Yeah, that will come. But we have been delivered from the power of sin. We've also participated in the burial of sin, right? So again, let's go to verse 4 again. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. We were buried with him. So we participated in the death of Christ because we are united with him. Whatever happens to Christ also happens to us because I'm in Christ. I'm one with him, right? In Ephesians chapter 4, it said that we are flesh of his flesh and bones of his bones. We are one with him. So we participate in whatever that happened to him. We also participate in it. And also in the resurrection of Christ. In the resurrection of Christ. Verse 4, again, verse 4, the second part of it. It said that that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Right? Because resurrection brings something new. So he said, well, if Christ has resurrected from the dead, then we also should walk in newness of life. Why? Because we've participated in the resurrection of Christ. When Christ resurrected, he was totally a different person. He wasn't the same when he got crucified. No, a new body, right? So we also, because we've participated in Christ, we should also walk in newness of life. And again, verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. So Christ resurrected, we also resurrect spiritually, right? Christ, it happened for him physically, but we as the believers, when we believe in Christ, when we come to Christ, when we get converted, we die to sin. Sin is buried, right? Because when you bury someone, that is the affirmation that that individual has really died, right? You dig a hole and then you bury that individual and you cover it all up. That means it's done with. We're not going to touch it again. It's once and for all done with, right? So we die to sin. Sin was also buried. And also we not only died and buried. No. You come to the other side and there is what? Resurrection. Right? So you've dealt with the negative side, which is that, you know, sin, right? Sin, the power of sin has been dealt with. We've buried it. But not only that, but we also have been resurrected. We have a new life in Jesus Christ. We have a new life in Jesus Christ. And this same teaching, right, which is that we participate in the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ is also taught in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 6. And I want to read that so it's clear to you. So you remember my definition of holiness? You have to know and understand your position in Christ. And that's what I'm doing now. I want you to know and understand your position in Christ. For you to be able to live a holy life, you have to know and understand your position in Christ. And then you live accordingly. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Listen. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, right? Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together, right? Right? You see that together? Both, right? Christ and you, Christ and I, both of us together with Christ, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, he made us alive together with Christ. It's not just Christ. Yes, Christ physically, but you and I spiritually. So, you and I, we've died to the power of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Sin no longer has dominion over us. And that's why he's able to say that in verse 14 of Romans 6. When you go to verse 14 of Romans 6, he said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Well, because you participated in the death of Christ. You participated in the burial of Christ. And you've also participated in the resurrection of Christ. Right? So if Christ died to sin, you also died to the power of sin. But Christ never had any sin, but he died for us. So he dealt with sin once and for all. So if Christ dealt with sin power, then you also have dealt with sin once and for all. So I'm back to Romans chapter 6, verse 6. It said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That old man was crucified with him. What is that old man? Well, that was our relationship to Adam. You remember I said, because Adam sinned, everyone who comes after Adam is also a sinner. That's why you don't have to teach a little kid how to sin. They know it. Because everyone who's born into this world is connected to Adam. That is the old man. The old man. That's why he said, it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ Jesus who liveth in me. That old man, my connection to Adam, is cut off once and for all. I'm no longer in Adam, but I'm now in Christ. That's it. So that, he said, so that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Everyone who's not a believer is a slave of sin. You like it or not. You can decide to believe it or not believe it. You are a slave of sin. But when you become a Christian, when you believe in Christ, that is cut off. No more a slave of sin. Amen. And then verse 7, right? For he said, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Someone who has died doesn't have to deal with sin anymore, right? He's dead, right? He doesn't have to deal with sin anymore. So if someone dies, then it's like, that's the end of sin. And that same thing applies to you and I, because we've died spiritually, right? We have a new life. It is no longer I who lives. Wow. So the life, you before Christ, before you came to Christ, is dead. It no longer exists. It's dead. Now you have a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. This is amazing. First time I understood this, I was like, wow. It said all the old things have passed away. Behold, all things are what? New. And now all things are of God. Amen. Now all things are of God. Wow. That's it. And then verse 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Right? Because if you are one with him, and Christ died, I also died. And if Christ resurrected, then I also resurrected. So I'm living with Christ. And you remember Ephesians 6, or Ephesians 2. It said that we are also seated in the heavenly places together with him now. It said that our citizenship is in heaven. Even though we are here physically, our spirit is in heaven. That's what the Bible said. Because we are one with Christ. If you being united with Christ, we are one with him. And in verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Christ dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Death no longer has dominion over him. So we also, the power of sin and even death no longer has dominion over us. Why? Because we know that the Bible said the spirits of just man made perfect. Even though our physical body will die, we are still in Christ. On the last day, Christ will resurrect us. We don't die anymore. That's why Paul told the church in Thessalonians, when a believer dies, he's just sleeping. Right? A believer, when he dies, he's just sleeping. Because death no longer has dominion over him. Death came into this world because of Adam. Because Adam sinned, and because of Adam's sin, death came into the world. So, but when Christ comes, Christ defeats sin, defeats death. So death, sin no longer has dominion over us. And in verse 10, I'm wrapping it up. It said that for the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. The death that he died to sin once and for all. And the life that he lives to God. He just summarized it. It's like, that's it, guys. The death that Christ died, he died to sin once and for all. And the life that he now lives, he lives to God. Right? And then that's why when you go to verse 11, that is the application, right? I said, know your position in Christ and live accordingly by the power of the Spirit. So I just shared with you your position in Christ, that you've died to the power of sin, you've buried the power of sin, but not only that, you on the other side, you have a new life. You have a resurrection life. You are in Christ. You are alive with Christ. The same way that Christ is alive, you also, you are alive. And then he goes to verse 11. This is where I said that you live accordingly, right? So verse 11, he said, likewise, what does that mean? That means you also, right? Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's all that I've been saying, right? So he's saying, well, know this, that you also, you are dead to the power of sin, and you are alive to God. Know this. And when you look at that word, reckon, right? That means to understand, to appropriate, believe it, that this is your position. And when you look at it, in the Greek word, the theologian said that it's in the present form, right? Present form. That means that keep on reminding yourself. Every day when you wake up, keep on reminding yourself, I'm in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. I have a resurrection life, right? The power of sin no longer has dominion over me. So he said, well, you see Christ? Christ died to sin. Christ buried sin and then has resurrection life. You also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. Hold on to it. That's your position. Hold on to that position. Hold on to it. So consistently reckon yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And in verse 12, 13, and 14, that's the application. So I said, no, for you to be able to live a holy life, you have to know your position in Christ and you live accordingly. And that's what the apostle has done here, right? Verse 1 to 10 is teaching you your position in Christ. And then 11, 12, 13, and 14 is, well, now that you know your position, now live accordingly. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So I said that we are dead to the power of sin, but we still live in a sinful world, right? We still live in a sinful world. The devil is trying to attempt us. The world, right? The Bible said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of possession, right? So all those things, even though we've died to the power of sin, sin and the systems of the world will attempt you. And that's what you remember Pastor Stan when he preached on, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us. So the devil will still attempt you. But then you go back to your position and say, no. I'm dead to the power of sin. And that's what the apostle is saying here, right? Let not sin what? Reign in your mortal bodies. Don't entertain sin. That's what he's saying. Don't entertain him. Don't play around with him. Right? If you know that going to a certain place wouldn't profit you, don't go. If you know that watching something wouldn't help you, don't watch it. Right? You remember what Jesus Christ said? If your eye is causing problems, pluck it out. If your arm, cut it off. Your leg, chop it off, right? It's just an analogy, right? That because you've died to the power, don't entertain sin. If you know that going to a place will harm you, don't go there. If you know touching, if you know picking up the phone and calling something, no, don't do it. Why? Because you are dead to sin, to the power of sin. All those things are temptations. Amen? Yeah, so that's what he's saying. Right? Don't allow sin. Don't entertain sin. Yeah, don't entertain it. Don't entertain it. I don't believe, this is not talking about sinless perfection. He's not saying that we shouldn't sin at all. No, that's not what it is, and I don't believe in that. The Bible doesn't teach that, because if the Bible did, then it wouldn't tell us to not do a lot of things. So, yes, we will get tempted, but I believe in victory, right? We have to have a victorious life. Yeah, so don't entertain sin, because you've died to the power of sin, right? And that's what, again, right? Don't love the world or the things in the world. right? Even if you know that social media is causing a lot of problems, you got to cut it off, right? If you know that watching a particular TV program or whatever it is, you got to cut it off. That's what it's saying. Don't let sin, don't entertain sin in your mind, in your heart, and in your spirit. Don't entertain it. It will cause a lot of problems. Don't entertain it. I'm going to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. That will give us a more practical understanding of what he means by let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying. That's what it means. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. Put away lying. Therefore, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. If you have an anger problem, right? Cut it off. Why? Well, because you've died to the power of sin. He said that for the death that he died to sin once and for all. So you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. So if you have a lying problem, you got to cut it off. You got to pray. God, you said, I have died to the power of sin. But this lying problem, I have to cut it off. And he said, right, be angry and do not sin. If you have an anger problem, it has to go. And then 28 is powerful. Let him who stole steal no longer. Wow. Let him. He said, if you have a stealing problem, let him who stole steal no longer. Not let him who stole steal less, right? No. Steal no longer. It's cut off. That's victory. Let him steal no longer. And then, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. If you have a problem with your tongue, right, you just say it as is, right? So people say, I'm just going to say it as it is. So no, what, you are not in Christ. Right? So this is what it is. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. That these things are called the characteristics of sin. That they want to reign in your body. Because when you got born again and when you came to Christ, you still have the same body, right? You didn't get a new body. You get a new body at the resurrection. But you still have the same body. Everything is the same. And there are some things that you did before you came to Christ. He's saying, well, now that you are in Christ, put it off. That's the life of holiness. You got to be set apart. You got to be different. So if you have a lying problem, cut it off. If you whatever that you have, it has to go, right? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Right? And then verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He's not saying reduce it. No, he said let it be put away from you. Right? Why? Because of your position in Christ. Your relationship to sin is totally different now. Well, that's what you used to do before you came to Christ. But now that you've come to Christ, you got to put it all off. And then positive 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen? Even as God in Christ forgave you. So I'm back at Romans chapter 6. That's what he's saying. And do not, right? Verse 12, Romans 6, 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present to God as members alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Instruments of righteousness to God. Live your life as a sacrifice, right? The same Romans chapter 12, it said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your members as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Because you are a new man. You have resurrection life. Be ye transformed. So know your position in Christ and live accordingly. If you know your position, then you will live accordingly. Because you need that motivation. You need that power. You need Christ to be able to live that life. And that's the main reason why you got to live a holy life. Because of your position in Christ. Your position in Christ. And then I said my definition is that, right? You know your position in Christ, and then you live accordingly by the power of the Spirit. You can't do it your own. You got to do it by the strength of the Spirit. By the strength of the Spirit. Same Romans. When you go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Same Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. It said, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, right? You see, if you got to do it, but with the strength of the Spirit. If you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What are the deeds of the body? Well, that's the stuff that I covered in Ephesians 4, right? Lying, let him who stole steal no more, right? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, right? Anger and all those things, right? Bitterness, anger, all that stuff. Let it out. That's what he's saying, right? If you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. You will enjoy this fellowship with Christ. You will enjoy this. And he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, right? Because he's saying we all have the Spirit. And one of the ways that the Spirit works is that he strengthens us to walk according to our position. And then he said that in verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Right? You said, God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind. So know your position in Christ. Live accordingly by the strength of the Spirit. You can't do it yourself. Whenever you pray, you say, Holy Spirit, strengthen me to be able to live a life that is worthy of the calling in which I have been called in Christ. Worthy of the calling in which I have been called in Christ. That is the New Testament, right? Walk worthy of the calling in which you have been called by the power of the Spirit. You pray about it. Holy Spirit, I need more of your power. I need to live a holy life. Holy Spirit, help me with this problem, with this anger problem, lying problem, bitterness, whatever, corruptible word that proceeds out of my mouth. Corruptible word that proceeds out of my mouth. You ask the Spirit. And because the Bible said, ask and it shall be given, right? Seek, you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Anyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And he who knocks, it's open to him. And Jesus Christ said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, right? If you hunger and thirst after this, the Holy Spirit will supply it. The Holy Spirit will supply it. So, amen. Lastly, I know, because I also need to hear this. I'm not just preaching to you. I need to hear this daily. I need to remind myself. He said, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. but alive to God. I also need, I'm not just preaching to you. Whenever I'm preaching, I'm always hearing it in my mind. I need to hear it also, right? I need to hear it. So you might feel like, oh man, you know, even though I'm in Christ, but it just feel like, you know, maybe I'm not at that level yet, you know, and all that stuff. Yes, we all have room to improve and stuff, right? That's why we always have to teach the scripture, right? We all got to know the scripture. So when you read Revelation, it said, remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. So examine your life. Where in my life am I falling? Right? Based on what I've heard today, where in my life am I falling? Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent. That means come back and do the first works. Come back and do the first works, right? From Psalm 51 that Pastor Barr read, he said that a broken and a contrite heart, God will never despise. A broken and a contrite heart, God will never despise. God will never despise. So that's the teaching on holiness. What is holiness? To be like Christ. Why do we have to be like Christ? Well, because it's the will of God. That's the reason why Christ came to die for us, because God said so. Be holy just as I'm holy. And then how do we live a holy life? Well, we got to know our position in Christ and live accordingly by the strength of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray.